Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Monday, the 14th of October. It's very nice to have you on the program. Welcome. It's a holiday. People call it, if you call it Columbus Day, then people say it's Indigenous Peoples Day. If you call it Indigenous Peoples Day, then people get mad at you that you call it, didn't call it Columbus Day. So happy holiday. I err on the Indigenous Happy Indigenous Peoples Day myself, but still, we'll see how it goes. Good morning and welcome. Let me introduce everybody to you, and then we will get started. WAMC's Alan Chartuck joins us. I don't know, was he not by phone? No, all right, we're going to hold off. I thought we had him on phone. Libby Post is here. Good morning, Libby. How are you?
Good morning, dear. I'm good.
Well, excellent. Good to see you. Always good to see you. Rosemary Armeo is here. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning, Joe.
How are you?
I'm distressed at the state of our nation, but otherwise fine.
Well, we'll get into that in just a moment, won't we? Sarah Rogerson is here as well. She is from the Albany Law School and heads the immigration clinic and is our dear friend. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you.
Good. And I think we do have Alan on the phone. Hi, Alan.
Hello. I'm on the phone from the Big Apple where I have an appointment today that can't be missed. I don't know if it sounds terrible, but I hope it's good.
Well, here it is. We can hear you, so that's good, right?
That's a good sign.
That's a good sign. We're making out your words.
Maybe we can pretend we don't hear you when we don't want to.
Well, there's always that.
That's nice. Congratulations, Rosemary, on Columbus Day. Appreciate that. We have big
Columbus.
Here,
Columbus
here.
Day is my birthday. It's always been special to me as an Italian American, but I am very appreciative of our new look at history, and so now celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day. It's hard to explain to my mother, however.
No, your birthday was yesterday.
It's October 12th, which is traditional.
Yes, yes.
The traditional
That's
day.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, good luck to you on doing that, Rosemary. And you are terrific, and we're so happy you're with us.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome. And we have a lot to talk about. As Rosemary mentioned, it's a busy day. What a weekend. It's so busy that when I was putting stories and thinking of what we were going to talk about today, we didn't even really get to the fact that I don't think I brought up the fact that Rudy Giuliani's probably under investigation and could be indicted, but we'll
criminally
criminally. So we will see.
There's also Joe, a giant story I think out of Texas where yet another black homeowner was shot dead by police in her home.
Called to there was an 8-year-old in the home, I believe, in the home as well.
They were playing video games.
Horrible.
It is. It's really horrible.
The story that I read said this has been the 7th shooting, although not death, by police of black people in their homes since August. What does that mean?
How does that happen, and how does that continue to happen? All good points. Of course, we have news out of Syria, which is what we're going to start with morning. And then there's just that awful story about the video that was played at the Trump Hotel.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is...
I tried to look at it. I can't find it.
Yeah, I did the same. I can't find it. And I'm glad that think they should have and did take it down.
I only have stills.
What was it, for those of us who don't know?
There was the
Church of Fake News.
There was a pro-Trump group meeting that included Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Eric Trump, I believe. While they may not have been in the room when this video was shown, although that seems to be still a question, although it's believed that they were not, these pro-Trump supporters that were holding this meeting at the Trump International Golf Course in Miami showed a video that was of an animated Donald Trump in doing a church. A mass shooting in a church of fake news, going after all of the president's detractors and many members of the media, and I think the last shot is him getting ready to shoot someone from CNN. So there's that.
Charming.
Yeah, it's really awful. And I mean, I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts about it. I guess one is, why would you stay in the room? And, you know, if you were seeing that, and I guess, and where, why is a church shooting ever funny given the climate that we live in? And I don't know. And you think you can't stoop much lower, but apparently you can. I don't know. Alan, does that? Okay, Alan is not there. All right. Did we lose it? Did that drop? Okay. I guess he dropped. All right. So starting off good so far, isn't it?
Happy Monday.
All right. So there's those situations. And so let's go to Syria and we'll start off there. Assad's forces are moving into an area hit by Turkey. Hours after reaching an agreement with Kurdish forces, the Syrian army entered a key town near the Turkish border, a significant shift in the power dynamic. Also, the European Union member states unanimously agreed to ban arms sales to Turkey. The all of this, of course, is under the question of how much of this is caused by the president's change in policy from a week ago.
Yeah, I think all of it
all
is.
Of it.
Yeah. He now is making a big deal, as is his minions of, oh, we'll Lindsay and Mnuchin being his minions, of, oh, we're going to put sanctions against Turkey. But he had the power to stop this in that phone call with Erdogan.
Hold on. Okay.
Am I here?
Yeah, you're on, but you're tweeting. All right.
Okay. Riveting radio here.
I'm sorry. We're trying to get Alan on.
I should explain to people.
Yes.
That.
And so we have two different lines going, and so it's difficult to.
Yeah. Technical difficulties.
Go ahead.
Trump clearly had the power to say to Erdogan, don't do this or there'll be consequences. And it would not have happened. And he continues to give signs approving it, the latest being he's pulling all of the troops out. And Erdogan matched that with, okay, now we're going full scale, as if they weren't already. They're killing civilians. They're bombing hospitals. The Kurds have made deals with the Russians and with the Syrians. So in one fell swoop, I believe that Trump has managed to empower despots, really help his friend, his pal, his boss, maybe Putin, and he has undone years of fighting against ISIS. And he's now emptied prisons, and those horrible terrorists are running wild in the Middle East and possibly soon in Europe and elsewhere. It's all blood on Trump's hands.
Oh,
I don't know how you define it otherwise.
And this is the making of more terrorist activity.
Absolutely.
I mean, the Kurds, we were their friends. We were helping them. We were providing.
They were our friends.
Aid.
They were doing us
right.
a favor.
They were doing us a favor. We were providing them aid. We were stabilizing where they were. We were keeping them safe, and they were keeping us safer. And now we've turned our backs. And if anyone doesn't think that there won't be an incident instigated because of this action, and that, and I'm talking about an incident of terrorism in this country, you're blind to the realities of this. Afghanistan came after we went in and we brought women in. Now, I'm not saying that the Afghanis' response was correct in any way, but culturally, it really got them very, very angry. And that was part of what built up Osama bin Laden and his ability to organize people, was the fact that we brought women in, you know, women armed forces people in. And it was against their cultural norms, as disgusting as it might be to the three women who were sitting here. But that fomented 9/11. We will have something else like this in this country because of this, because of putting children in cages. This is how you foment terrorism.
Alan?
Well, Libby, just to be clear, you're not saying we shouldn't have brought women into our armed forces.
No, I am not saying we shouldn't have brought women into our armed forces, but I think we should have been cognizant of the political realities of doing that when we went into Afghanistan in 1980 when the Russians invaded.
Yeah. You know, to me, this is all about the Russians. It has been from the very beginning. Trump turns around, he talks to the Russians, and he says, I've just fired Comey. That should put a stop to this Russian thing. I believe truly that Trump is owned by the Russians at this point, and that at some point in our future, we're going to see this. We're going to see it laid out clearly that the man is imprisoned intellectually by the Russians and is doing their bidding. And that is the scariest thing I could say about the United States of America at this point.
Sir?
Agree. 100%. They are also going after human rights leaders in the region, people who were lined
That's
up
right.
to be in leadership for when they finally were able to self-govern. So we have a very dangerous situation on our hands. And with the family members, I mean, it's not just us around the table that are concerned. The intelligence community, there have been people speaking out that wouldn't ordinarily speak out. I know we'll get to it, but I think it was Lindsey Graham went on the record on this particular decision.
Yeah, but he weaseled
back out.
It's like, sanctions. That just shows what a great president we have. Yeah, we'll stop the Turks. Yeah.
But that was before. He made the statement before the sanctions came out, right?
So, yes, right.
He's a waffler if there ever was.
Totally agree. But so there are communities, though, that are normally aligned with Trump that immediately after his decision came out and condemned this particular decision because they know the risk, because they sit in on Security Council meetings or because they're the people who have the information that we don't get to see on a daily basis.
Where have they been in the last 24 hours, though?
Yeah.
I mean, as the blood has started to flow, and we've seen what has happened. I don't know. I don't.
They wait and see.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think these are people that would say wars are bloody. What do you expect? It's a difficult situation. Blood's been spilled in the region before.
Well,
and they're waiting to see how bad it might get. And it's not bad enough.
Then we have that craven, silent James Mattis.
Yeah.
Who's asked directly on Meet the Press, you know, is this going to endanger national security? And he said, well, no, I really can't comment on operational matters. We have a separation between military and politics in our country. Jeez.
So I wanted to ask you guys a question, panel. A fellow walked up to me in the Jewish service. I wasn't happy about it. And wanted to give me, and I wasn't. That's a day to pray. That's not a day for politics. And he said, I just want you to know that Trump is done. He's going to be impeached because the Republicans in the Senate are so angry about this, right? So angry about this that they're going to vote for impeachment. And I said, I don't think so. What do you guys think?
No,
nope.
We're with you, Alan.
Yeah. Well, on both things, he shouldn't have walked up to me, number one, and number two, right? And number two, these are people who stay in office by dint of their being Republicans and Republican voters, and if they betray Trump in betraying quotes, they're done.
Well, I think we should be talking about politics every day and everywhere because it's impacting everything. So I forgive him for that, for interrupting you, Alan. But and he may even be right about impeachment because more and more information is coming out about Trump and Giuliani's dealings, and they all look bad. I think today more is going to – is it today that Sondland is talking or this week?
Yeah, this week.
I think more and more will come out that makes him look – so he may well end up facing an actual impeachment conviction, but not because of Kurds.
No.
I'm afraid his base and our Senate do not care enough about any people in the Middle East that we're going to affect our politics.
I'll tell you one thing. I think, the idea that he would be impeached will only happen in my mind if it can be conclusively proven what I have posited as a hypothesis, that he's in bed with the Russians. That he's controlled by the Russians. If that turns out, he's impeached. But it's going to take a lot of proving.
I think that would be difficult to prove. It seems like the fact that whether he's done it formally or not, he certainly is acting in Putin's behest to help him. That should be enough. I'm surprised that we need to prove some formal connection.
I have this new theory, a theory not that anybody should care, but I have a theory, and that is, that communism was a dictatorship, Maoism dictatorship, Trump, we can pretty well see, wants to play that same strong man role in this country. Don't go up and obey the Constitution and testify. I'm the supreme leader. I'm the Wizard of Oz, whatever. We have an attempt on his part to replicate the sort of dictatorships that he so admires.
Oh, lucky us.
Is that too obvious?
No, it's the way he's run his business.
Yeah.
And so he thinks he can do the same in government.
Who was it who said, after Trump, I never again want to hear about, hey, let's put a businessman in charge of government.
You can't do it this way. It's too...
There's no way you can do it. Let's not put a corrupt businessman in charge. I mean, after all, Jimmy Carter, the best ex-president we have ever had, was in the peanut business.
I'd vote for Bloomberg. I would vote for Bloomberg.
Yeah, me too.
As a businessman.
But it's different. Yeah. Jimmy Carter didn't go in saying we're going to run government like a business. He was also the governor of Georgia. And knew how government worked. Bloomberg was the mayor of
New York,
and he didn't run it like a business, but he made government work.
Yeah.
And this guy has absolutely no government experience before becoming president. Let's conceive of that.
Not
first.
To mention he doesn't no conscience.
Right. And he doesn't know how business works.
No, he really
that's
doesn't.
Good point. Sarah.
He really doesn't.
Oh, well, he knows enough about how business works to make it work for him, even though we know that he's had real troubles and bankruptcies and everything else.
Well, you know, his line last week that he was going to sue the Democrats over the impeachment, that's all he does is he sues people. That's exactly what he does.
That's it.
Exactly.
I'm greatly enjoying the argument from the mayor of Milwaukee who wants Trump to pay up his security bill for the rally he held there. And Trump has something like it's nearly rounded up $1 million in debt to cities that have held his rallies and provided the police support and the traffic control.
Court.
Yep.
Right.
It is.
Take me to court, and I'll see you in 3 or 4 years.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation. We welcome your input as well. We'll go to your letters, panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. We will be right back after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Sarah Rogerson, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post. And we will continue here. During the break, we were watching the video that we were talking about that came out of the conference.
What was your impression of it, Joe?
I mean, it's sickening. It really is. It's just horrible. But we'll talk about, I'm sure many will have things to say about that as well. Okay, a lot from the letters. We go to Travis, who says, if the president pulled troops to distract from the Ukrainian whistleblower story, I guess it worked. However, I'm not sure the current situation in Syria would constitute a win, and who knows where this instability could lead as the Syria conflict spins further out of control. How might Trump manage to create some sort of workable narrative he can pledge to his supporters? And side note, Erdogan is our friend. Why?
Yeah.
Great question.
Because he's a dictator. That's why. And Trump admires dictators.
We go...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, we go to Lisa, who says, Trump was planning on siding with Putin from the get-go. Now he's probably renewed a deal with Erdogan to keep his name on the towers in Istanbul, can build his Moscow tower after he leaves office, hopefully very soon, and who can guess what Assad will give him? This is a travesty. That from Lisa. Dennis writes about Syria, which member of the panel was willing to sacrifice a son, daughter, etc. to Syria and the Kurds after how many years? Enough. We go to this letter from Narcissa, who says, much as I admire Libby, I have to correct on the matter of fact. Osama bin Laden did not attack the U.S. because he was mad we had women troops. He was mad our troops were in Saudi Arabia at all because he thought that they could protect Saudi Arabia from Saddam Hussein, ignoring our part in defending Afghanistan and arming them, that they rejected his group and our unbelievers no less, made the perceived insult that much worse and is what set him off. Otherwise, I agree, some Kurd whose family was killed may very well be turned to terror against the United States. We go to Manny, who says, how about the crickets on the fact that Russian bombers attacked hospitals indiscriminately? Where is the moral high ground we once had?
Gone. Big New York Times investigation this week conclusively proving that the bombs were dropped by Russians.
Martha writes, concerning the video during the 2016 election cycle in the yard of the Republican headquarters in Madison County, North Carolina, I was appalled to see a person in a Trump mask chasing another in a Hillary mask with a butcher knife running back and forth across the yard. Being that the headquarters was across the road from the major grocery store, we witnessed this day after day. It was not a one-time stunt. The head of the party also had a bumper sticker, neuter all liberals. Yes, the county went to Trump, and almost every office in that county is Republican. My point is, these tactics are not only condoned, they are taught, and they work. P.S., I moved.
Wow. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, sounds like a smart plan. Dennis says, today it's WAMC with faking but misreading. It's WAMC with faking but misreading the situation. First, let me say I'm a Trump supporter. His climate and environment policies are terrible. The facts are that Russia helped the legitimate Syrian government defeat ISIS. The USA was supporting its own supposedly good guy terrorists, not to support the Kurds, which we were doing indirectly, but to try to get rid of Assad. Syria had a right to its own land.
I have no response
to that. Well, there is a question as to whether we do what we're doing.
I'm sorry, Alan?
There is a question as to whether we knew what we were doing. In our position in Syria, I think the letter writer says something I've thought about many times, and it's interesting.
A number of the groups that we were actually supporting on the ground, the Kurdish groups, some of them had participated. It's my understanding. In a movement in Turkey, right? So it's complicated.
Yes.
The personalities of the troops involved, whether or not they constitute, I mean, it's a ragtag group of
they're guerrillas, basically.
Essentially, led by a general who I understand participated in those movements in Turkey. So I get why it's tense and complicated, but the fact remains that people way smarter than us, who are military leaders and intelligence leaders, advised our presidents that that was our best tactic to defeat ISIS in the region. Period. So I'm not going to question that decision. What we do need to look at is what the advice was to this president in deciding to pull out. And from all indicators that we saw when he made this surprise announcement, he did it without consulting those leaders and the people who understand what's going on the ground.
That's an excellent point, Sarah. And here's one other thing. These complicated situations where there are conflicting and changing alliances are what we have diplomacy for, or what we used to have it
exactly.
for. This was something that Erdogan could have been urged by our president to say, sit down, we need to work this out. And if he's such buddy-buddy with Putin, Putin could have come in on it. Assad, unfortunately, should not be involved, but he is. They should be sitting down and talking about it. There's no way that this should have gone to another hot war.
And I think they probably, the two of them actually probably did talk to Trump at some of these recent summits. And what they said was, if you don't like the European Union former allies, you know, France and Germany, all the people that are giving him a hard time, you know what'll really
we'll be your
agitate.
New best friend.
Yeah.
Yep.
You want to go agitate the European Union, go after Turkey, which had to fight to get into the European Union because of a terrible record on human rights, which
Correct.
I'm afraid they're going back to. I wouldn't Correct. Be surprised to see the European Union move on this situation.
Antonin says, I'm concerned that it isn't just Trump who is owned by the Russians. Last week, there were stories about the minority leader of the House, Kevin McCarthy, and the governor of Florida taking money from the recently arrested Ukrainians. What if there are mass illegal foreign campaign contributions throughout the GOP? Will GOP leadership hold Trump accountable for crimes they might also be guilty of? This isn't just GOP reps and senators taking a risk and not getting reelected. It might be a risk of going to jail.
No, the NRA takes Russian money. I mean, they're all taking their money because they put power over country.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Sue writes to us and says Trump denies doing what Russia wants because he doesn't see it. When he denies doing what Putin wants, he's sincere because his belief in himself blinds him. What should our representatives or the media do?
I'm not sure that we can do much more than we are, which is to keep reporting and bringing out all aspects of this, not just letting Trump control the narrative for the media. As for representatives, they can continue to investigate him.
So, Rosemary, do you think it can get worse in terms of Trump? If Trump is a would-be dictator, and we know what would-be dictators, Hitler and others, have done to the press, so far the press has survived in this country and is, you know, pretty aggressive. What do you think? You think that it's going to get worse, that it can get worse with this guy if you follow the bouncing ball?
There's a really interesting article that we've been circulating, those of us on the media project, and you may have seen it, Alan, about how Clarence Thomas in the Supreme Court has been leading an effort to weaken First Amendment powers by attacking, of all things, the Supreme Court ruling that really set the high standards for libel in this country that has so protected the press since 1964. So, yes, I think there are concerted efforts to attack the press that are being led by lawyers smart enough to look for loopholes and ways around it. I think there's imminent danger to the press, as there are to other civil liberties in this country. And I realize that saying it, I sound like an extremist and a weirdo, and I just love Hillary and all those things that those people we collectively refer to as his base have warned about. But all the evidence is building that this is all true.
And I mean, it's even local. We have an incident up in Glens Falls. There's a group of folks in Glens Falls who are out at the roundabout, and I've seen them every week, you know, Trump doing the Trump thing and shouting and everything. And Stefanik, the congresswoman from up there, had a town hall meeting recently, and they were asked to pack the meeting so that the progressives wouldn't have a lot of space to get in and all that sort of stuff. But then the guy, one of these guys who represents this group, actually threatens the Glens Falls Post star.
Yep.
And a senior official from Stefanik's campaign reached out to the man who threatened this newspaper and thanked him for, quote, holding down her Glens Falls office from the invasion of socialists and commies.
Oh, and he did
this on Facebook.
Wow.
And Ken Tingsley, who's the editor of the Post Star, who's been there a very, very long time.
Yes, great journalist.
Yes, he really is. You know, wrote about it, that this is now laid at Stefanik's feet.
Yep.
Well, if you look at the Southern Poverty Law Center map of white nationalists and domestic terror groups, there are several in the area, in that particular area.
Yeah.
You mean in the North Country? Is that what you're talking about, Sarah?
In the North Country, yeah.
In the North
Rural New York. Mm-hmm. Let's go with two letters, and then we'll go to a break. Maureen says, can Turkey call on its NATO allies to aid in a fight against Syria, Russia, and Iran? Wouldn't that precipitate a crisis, even a world war?
Yeah, it's possible. I can't imagine the NATO going along with it because, except for Trump, most NATO members are appalled by this. But yeah, it's certainly possible.
I believe
isn't the NATO threat, though? It has to be a threat to Turkey. Are the Kurds really a threat to Turkey?
No.
I don't think he could pull that off.
No,
and I don't think the NATO countries would agree to go and defend Turkey on this.
Other than the United States.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
And we're already, you know, here's the big lie, is that Trump is saying, oh, we got to get our troops home. We have to America first, which I can understand as appeal to many people. I think our troops should be out of there, not just under these circumstances. But he's put them in Saudi Arabia. We're not out of the Middle East. We've switched sides horribly and dishonorably. We've switched sides.
And
so
then, go ahead.
So what happens really quickly? What happens to Turkey? In other words, any chance that Turkey gets thrown out of NATO?
No. The U.S. would veto that. Just like they vetoed any action by the U.N. You know, they just protect Turkey.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. We have more letters, and we have certainly have more topics to discuss. Alan Chartok, Sarah Rogerson, Libby Post, Rosemary Armeo, we welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Sarah Rogerson, Libby Post, Rosemary Armeo. Did I get everybody? It seems like I may have forgotten somebody.
You missed yourself.
Hey, and I'm here too. Good morning. Let's go to some letters. We go to Peter. I believe that Trump's arbitrary and irresponsible desertion of the Kurds should be put forth as a separate article of impeachment. That's Peter's
not
vote.
Sure that it's a high crime and misdemeanor. Here's the whole problem with it is that the Constitution and our tradition gives a tremendous amount of power to the president to deal with foreign relations. And this clearly he has. It's not right, but he does have the right to do it.
We got this from Kevin, who says, why is it assumed that our actions in Syria will cause the Kurds to become terrorists? Would you say the same of Germans, Italians, question mark? I don't think we should make assumptions.
I don't think we did.
What are the Germans and Italians doing?
Well, because we beat them up and defeated them and they didn't turn into terrorists.
I think what we're talking about is ISIS and the Kurdish control of ISIS, which is no longer a thing.
Yes. And we beat them up, and but it was a different time. It was World War II. It was a totally different time when there was no social media. There was TV was just coming into play. I mean, people did not have the means to communicate instantaneously like they do today.
Well, and violence on the scale of 9/11 outside of the nation state was not a possibility.
Right.
Sharon writes, what is the deal with our democracy? Common sense would tell me that president that who is in the process of being impeached shouldn't be able to make major decisions such as pulling troops that are critical to protecting allies. Where are the checks and balances protecting us from the malicious whims of our dangerous orange president while he is being further exposed for his stupidity, selfishness, and ignorance?
Well, I'm glad you said that. However, yes, that's true. What are we going to do about it? We know this is happening. That's the terrible part of this. We are frustrated. We don't know what to do about it. But yes, you know, you write us a letter and you say what we all know to be the case, or most of us know to be the case. And, you know, you're right. Where is the protections that the founding fathers put into that Constitution?
Well, he's the commander in chief. I don't even think Congress can overrule what he's doing.
No.
They can condemn it, but that doesn't do anything. So
okay, so Sarah, give us the answer. What do
we elected him? That's the answer, right?
And that's it's so on. We cannot elect.
And we cannot elect him in 2020. That's it.
Yes, I think that's right, because I think that the chances of impeachment, you can impeach him in the House, but the chances of conviction are not very good, unless of course what I said, whether we find out that there is a Russian connection here, and then I think all bets are off.
As I've said before, I think that just the single act of impeachment, regardless of the Senate, will be a strong enough talking point to be able to use in 2020. I also think that's enough. I mean, I don't know if the Russian connection will be enough for the Senate, because some of them are also complicit in taking Russian money. So if they say he's got to go because of it, well, then they have to go because of it.
And I still hold out hope that the Senate, as it did in the time of Nixon, will be persuaded by information that continues to come in and continues to be universally negative to Trump.
It has to do with what Mitt Romney can put together.
He's
really
working on it, and yes. I don't think he's a particularly effective man. We'll see. But the information coming out of the hearing so far has that the former ambassador who testified on Friday was just incredible.
Yep. And the Sunderland testimony is going to be very damning.
And Bill Taylor, who was the envoy who wrote boldly in the text as he was being warned to, you know, get on the telephone, get off the text. You know, I said this was crazy. As I said on the phone, this was crazy. He's testifying as well.
Well, the rats are leaving a sinking ship.
Yeah. So I'm not quite willing. I don't think Mitch McConnell will ever vote for conviction, don't get me wrong. And he has the power to do, as Alan say, just shut it down. But I'm not giving up hope yet that there may be changes of minds.
I was interested in what you just said, Libby, that cats will desert a sinking ship. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes a great deal of courage in our society to be a profile. It really does. And, you know, it is interesting. Does the panel sense that we're getting closer to that as some people defy the idea that if the president tells them not to, they're not going to? It seems to me things may be loosening up.
You may be right. I think I'm sorry, I can't pronounce her name, the ambassador, the fired ambassador to Ukraine. Right. She defied the White House and she defied the State Department, which took great courage. She could lose her lifetime career for this, and went and testified. Yeah. And Adam Schiff, at least, is hopeful that this will give courage to other people. When one person acts bravely, it inspires bravery from others. So we'll see.
Well, the other guy's coming back. Sorry, my feeble brain forgets his name.
Who
said he wouldn't testify, and now he's going to testify.
Well, and I was going to say the New York Times also came out with what is likely to be the key point in his testimony, which is that the text he sent, which every Republicans have said, oh, see, that's exculpatory, saying that the president has asked for no quid pro quo, was actually composed by Trump himself. So that's already come out. It's part of this whole body of increasing negative evidence against what Trump was doing.
And they're trying more and more, right, to it seems that these people who are coming forward are trying to cover for themselves and less about.
Right. Because they know they're not going to get any cover from Trump.
None.
Because he does not provide cover for anybody. It's all about him and maybe his kids, but I'm not convinced.
Although, Libby, he did have the whole lunch and the buddy-buddy photo session with Giuliani this weekend.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, I thought he was pulling away from
probably
Giuliani.
Because Giuliani
has all the secrets.
Yeah, he's got all the goods.
Where the bodies are.
Right. He knows
so did Michael Cohen. It didn't stop him then.
Well, I think you'll see Trump turning on Giuliani eventually. Because he started.
He did
start. Well, yeah, he's a good lawyer, but he wasn't really my lawyer. I mean, that's not what he said, but that was the inference. And I think he'll turn. This man doesn't understand the concept of loyalty.
Well, he does as it applies to him.
It's a one-way street.
Yeah.
There's an article in the Washington Post I know we've been talking about this, but unswayed by top advisors, Trump doubles down on decision to withdraw troops. But what we haven't seen is a double down. To me, and I just want to get back to this, what we haven't seen a double down on is the outrage that we saw that Sarah referred to in the beginning days of this decision from Senate Republicans and House Republicans who are... You know, so now what? Well, he was talking about sanctions this morning in tweets.
Yeah.
What does that mean? And then and how effective can that be? And then what does the full Senate body
Here's
do?
The deal. Those sanctions cannot be effective because Turkey has Russia on its side. They will bust any sanction you can meet. The time for Trump to act, if he had wanted to stop this, was in that phone call to Erdogan.
And they in terms of lawmakers, they probably had time to pull their base and see how Trump's decision went down in the voting base. And I wouldn't be surprised if they said, because I get a lot of comments. I wrote something in The Conversation, right? And I think like 8,500 views of that article, and all of the comments were it was about asylum seekers at the southern border and the decision a couple weeks ago to basically shut that down. And folks were like, well, why don't we impose sanctions against these countries? It's all about sanctions. It's the bully. It's the stick, not the carrot. Right. That's what this base understands. And so I think the folks who were coming out and condemning it were doing so because there's states people and they have a lot of information, but then 72 hours go by, they have a chance to check back in with the electorate and see how it's going over, and then they abandon they abandon their principles for whatever will get them reelected.
And that is my fear. I mean, if we are not sympathetic as an American people to Ukrainians, who, I'm sorry, they're just like us. They're white and blue-eyed, and we don't sympathize with them, then how are we going to get
They're the epitome of the Europeans that David Duke extols.
Exactly. Right. And then you have Kurds. Do people in the hinterland have any sympathy or empathy for Kurds?
They don't understand who they are.
They sound like sour milk. Oh,
right.
Come on.
Yeah, right.
What has occurred?
Joe, very quickly, I want to mention something we mentioned all day today. We're $50,000 away from filling lockbox. We haven't done it today because, let's face it, Columbus Day, we've tried to raise money on Columbus Day, and we've never been able to do that. Anybody, just WMC.org or give the number 1-800-323-9262, and let's see if we can defy the odds. Right, Joe?
Absolutely. We have, now's the time, a fine time to do it. I think we have 46.5 to go to hit our goal. So that's
500,000.
Mm-hmm. That's right, to hit our goal of 500,000. So let's do it. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk more about what is going on in the world, and we will hear from you as well. Panel at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. We have Sarah Rogerson, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, and I think Alan is with us.
You got me.
Oh, thank God. You sound so much better.
Yeah, I'm on the Comrex, as we say, right now. I've been trying on the phone, which has been disconnecting regularly. Not that we should have the only pain in the room. Let everybody else share in it.
Absolutely.
You're so generous.
Well, yeah. it helps explain what's been going on, because a couple of times we've gone to you, and so that makes sense now.
So telling the truth is always the best way.
That's right. Well, thank you very much. I'm glad you're here. Let's go to
Never be president with that philosophy.
But also thanks to Jessica O'Rourke, our superb engineer who has made this okay, at least for now. That's great.
Yeah, and troubleshooting from here. That's really good. Excellent. So nice job. So Hunter Biden is going to leave the Chinese company board addressing appearance of a conflict. Although, when I read the story, I thought, oh, that's interesting. And then as I read more of it, it's like, if his father is elected, and I thought,
No. He's leaving the Chinese board at the end of the month. If his father is elected, the second part of the promises is that he will do no foreign business.
I gotcha. Okay.
Not only that, but if his father is elected, his father promises no relatives on any position in the White House, which is really quite nice.
Okay. No nepotism.
This is pre-debate.
So here's the thing.
Yes.
I think that Biden is making a mistake. When I heard he was leaving, I said, oh, he's guilty. He's got to get off. I think that Biden should have taken the position that he initially did and stuck with it, saying, I'm not addressing these things because nothing's been done wrong. They've already been looked at, and Trump is only coming after me because he's afraid of me and I can win. And he should be repeating that over and over again. I think Trump has seriously hurt Biden with the charges and the way he made them.
Rosemary, respectfully, very, very, very respectfully from me to you, I disagree. And the reason I disagree is that young man had, or not so young anymore, had no business being up there. Why do they choose a guy like that? Because he's the possible president's son. I love Joe Biden. I've loved him for the entirety of this. Everybody knows it who's ever heard me. And yet this was a mistake. It was the kind of mistake I think Trump is making with his own children. And boy, he makes it in spades compared to what we hear, otherwise. So I got to tell you, I don't think the Hunter Biden should have been up there, period. And I think they know it now. It was a great mistake, and most Americans know that, too.
Of course, he should not be there, just as Trump's children should not be where
they are.
But you notice Trump's children have not lost their job. Trump has doubled down, and he has given the impression, to at least to his followers and to others, too, that, they're right there in the open. You knew about it. I told you about it. There's nothing wrong. Hunter Biden, on the other hand, now has slithered out of that post. It looks like he did wrong.
Well, it does. I think that the reason he was chosen was because he was a potential president.
That's been written about.
I get it. I just think when you make a mistake, cut your losses and get out. And I think that's what the Bidens are doing right now. He never should have been there, and it doesn't look good. I don't think he's done anything illegal, but I do think it's obviously the kind of horse trading that you see in politics all the time. I know Libby knows about that.
Mm-hmm. And even if that is, if you were right, if I grant you correctness, which
Thank
I don't,
you. Thank you.
It should have been done 3 weeks ago. It's still, Biden took battering after battering, and now I'm sure he's getting ready for the debate where he knows this will come up. It just looks craven and weak to me.
You know what? We've seen these vulnerabilities in presidents all along. Jimmy Carter had a brother. Nixon, right. Didn't Nixon have a brother also
who
got him into trouble?
So did Clinton.
Yeah, so did Clinton. So, you know, the answer is you gotta have enough cojones to be able to say, no, my presidency isn't going to include this. And now Biden is saying that, which is very encouraging, I think.
I think you also need to have enough sechel to say that, which sechel. Means
there's
with,
a
sechel, right? To say that, which means wisdom in Yiddish. Yeah. I mean, it's a combination of both.
Well, okay, but Biden. Yeah. So when Biden became vice president, Hunter was on the board of Amtrak and resigned only after his father was elected
in office. Right.
Right. And. Hunter has a career in banking and finance and lobbying. So it's not like he was put on this board just because his last name is Biden. I mean, I'm not excusing what's going on. I think it's actually the right move. I agree with Rosemary, however, that it should have been done earlier, immediately after it was brought to light, before Trump could make such a big deal out of it, because now it makes Joe Biden look like he's capitulating.
How many Americans are there? 300 million or something like that? And out of those 300 million or something like that, comma, are you telling me that the one guy who should be on the Amtrak board or any of these other things is the son of a potential future president? Come on.
I'm just saying it wasn't that big of a deal when, you know, and it's an unpaid position. The only thing that could happen potentially is to have one vote on a board to make decisions about major mergers and acquisitions.
If we were in any other race at any other time, this wouldn't be an issue at all.
But it is, and they should have seen it coming.
Yep, that's true.
I won't be mad if this takes down Biden's candidacy.
Yeah.
I'm on the record on that.
We all are. I think Alan is the one who's been a Biden.
I have been too.
You like Biden
too?
I don't care if he gets out of the race for this. I think this and the way he dealt with the issues about his race policies do
That's
not
a
show
bigger
that he's
for
very
me.
Yeah, I don't think he's very quick on his feet. And,
I think he's
and Anita
I think
Hill.
He's weaker than he was coming into this.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, I've been watching and I want him to do better, but I don't think he's gonna.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that's exactly right.
Yeah.
However, there is the other issue. Everybody, you know, the progressive candidates in this race are attacking, as they say in sailing, to the left, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're attacking to the left. And then if they get the nomination, you watch. We all know what happens. They scurry like crazy
to the middle
as fast as they can.
Right.
Now, Biden doesn't have to worry about that. Biden is the middle. But Biden may get defeated because he isn't far enough left. What an enigma.
So tomorrow night is the next big primary debate that'll be happening. It's being sponsored by CNN and the New York Times. We'll actually be able to carry it, which is cool. So we'll have
good.
It here. So Julian Castro, Tulsi Gabbard, Amy Klobuchar, Tom Steyer. Beto O'Rourke, Cory Booker, Andrew Yang, Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden. 12. It'll be
Too
the
many.
Largest on the stage. We had 20 candidates, and now it's whittled down to 12, so all 12 will be on the stage at the same time. And I believe Tom Steyer, this is his first debate performance. So
mm-hmm. Who's the moderator?
That
makes a difference.
I believe it's a mix of CNN. I will find that out for you, Rosemary. I believe it's a mix of CNN and New York Times people, but I will find out for you.
Can I ask a question? If you guys on the panel, you folks on the panel, take a look at all of these candidates who are going to be up there, is it too much to ask you who your least favorite is?
No.
Okay. Who's your least favorite, Libby?
I'm looking at their pictures now, and I would say that Beto O'Rourke.
Really?
And Andrew Yang, they both are my least favorite.
Why?
Candidates.
They're both respectable.
And
people.
Juan Castro. I mean, first of all, in Tulsi. First of all, you know,
you
some of these people.
Four.
I know.
Yeah.
But some of these people.
My one is Tulsi Gabbard.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
But
really?
Some of these people. The four that I mentioned aren't even polling at 1%.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. They should be out of this race. We need to for people to get a grip, to recognize they're not going to be the nominee and drop out. What I would like to see is a debate between Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, and Bernie.
Right.
Those are the ones with over 10%. And Bernie's only at like 13 or 14. And Biden's a little higher than Warren. Warren's at 23, Biden's at 26.
Sarah, who's your one?
I don't just have just one. And what I would do
you
is...
You have to. That's
no.
the rule.
Well,
you
too
have
bad.
To, you must.
So it's
the law.
I want to look
You're
at
You're a lawyer.
It's your law, honey.
I want to look at the Fed. Let's talk about
don't
laws.
Don't call me honey.
Let's
yeah,
talk about finance laws. And let's talk about campaign finance laws.
Yes.
And I want everybody to get out who's still in the race because of a handful of donors.
But
that's
you don't
what
have...
What,
okay,
that's,
here's
you
mine.
Know, that disqualifies Yang for sure. Yeah. That disqualifies... Like, a bunch of these folks are getting the vast majority of their support from a tiny little group of stakeholders.
Right.
I'm glad you all asked who my favorite, least favorite was.
We knew we didn't have to ask, Alan.
Right. Do you? Who do you think it is? It is Steyer.
Tom Steyer. Yeah,
I'm with you on that.
It is Steyer. I think this guy's all about money. He thought he was going to come in and say impeachment, impeachment. Everybody's going to rise up and make him the candidate. Guess what? It failed. Go away.
That's
I sort
Democrats
of want to hear from him. I'm not a supporter, but I do want to hear from him.
Well, you can hear from him.
But
go
it's like
online.
Coming in, you know, it's like coming into the third part of the trilogy. I mean, you've got this.
like and which trilogy would that be?
Well, like you're supposed to care about, right, well, you're supposed to care by the time we get to the last, the Return of the Jedi, you're supposed to care about. I don't know. I just, it's, he missed the first two. He's in now. He's still polling at zero, between 0 and 1%.
How did
I don't
he
know.
Get in?
Money.
He made
money.
The money. He made the money.
And he's got TV ads running.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I am so sick of the billionaire types. Although, with that said, I have to say the one guy I really regret not being in this is Bloomberg. You know, Bloomberg has wanted to be president from the very beginning. He's reached out to many, many people one way or the other. And I think, you know, if he had had the guts to come in at this stage of the game, he'd be a very attractive candidate to a lot of people.
Same with Andrew Cuomo.
Right.
I think they understood, though, it's expensive. I mean, it would be a big loss.
What, he has to worry about it.
Yeah,
money?
Money's not an issue. He could self-finance.
But the thing is, like, why would you want to have to, if you're looking at the presidency, you don't want to have to fight eight people from very diverse backgrounds when you're a wealthy white guy?
Because, Sarah, he's in the middle of his 70s. He wants to be president desperately.
Didn't stop Bernie.
He'd be a great president, in my opinion. And he just wanted to, the assurance, you know, you can't think that people are going to come along and crown you and say, okay, you're it. Now you got to fight for it. And he didn't do it.
Well, he was anointed in New York. You know, he didn't have to fight very hard to become mayor.
The only thing about him. And
but I thought he did a good job as mayor.
He did, except for that third term. There were term limits.
Yes.
He bought himself a third term by
changing.
Buying everybody on the city council the same third term. That was not attractive.
To get back to the debate, I think it's going to be just, there's a word I can't use for it, a mess. I would not want to be the moderator of this debate, because they're all going to be talking over each other, over their time limits. It's just going to be a zoo. I have to watch it for this, for work, but it will be a homework assignment, not a pleasure.
I'm going to watch the coverage. There's just no way.
I haven't watched any of them yet.
Oh,
I read the coverage.
Oh, they're fun.
Libby, you're not allowed to talk then.
Well, I read the coverage.
You have to recuse yourself. No.
I'm for Libby. I'm for Libby. I think she's terrific.
CNN anchors.
She has to recuse herself on debates.
CNN Anderson Cooper and Aaron Burnett.
Oh, they're good.
And New York Times national editor Mark Lacey will moderate the debate.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll
they're
be interesting.
Good. They're good moderators, but they have their hands full, I'm sorry.
I'm a huge Aaron Burnett fan. I think she's fantastic.
She has pretty hair.
What about Anderson? Don't you like Anderson, Alan?
Also, pretty hair.
Sure. I like Anderson. Why? Were you trying to trap me into something there?
No, honey. I just wanted to make sure.
You keep honey-izing me. I'm greatly insulted by it.
Are you now?
Honey-izing you?
Honey-izing. Are you now?
This is interesting. It's been over a decade. I don't know why I find this interesting, but it's been over a decade since the New York Times has hosted a debate.
Yeah, print is dead.
Well, yeah, but
sorry,
you still
Rex.
Think you'd want to be...
Print is dead.
No.
You still think you would
Rex
be
Rex says it too, by the way. Rex says, remember when he said months and years ago, in 10 years, you know, it'll all be gone. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, it's true. But the New York Times has been a powerhouse of reporting and remains, as is the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal.
It's amazing the Wall Street Journal is doing this since it's owned by Murdoch.
Yeah. Their opinion pages.
Which is why.
One thing.
Hard to read, but
which,
for liberals.
By the way.
The reporting has been stellar. They have the best reporters ever.
Which is
still.
Why the President of the United States made his call to Murdoch last week. We all know it. Mm-hmm. And then the top guy at Fox quits. Something's up, don't you think? One and one makes two.
Well, I watched a lot of coverage about Shepard Smith leaving, and apparently he's been in negotiations to get out for a while. He just can't stomach it anymore.
Yeah.
And it does not appear to be that he was pressured out, although it certainly makes Trump happy. It
when is
helps
he leaving?
Trump. His last newscast
was
done Friday.
Was Friday.
Yeah.
It depends what you mean by pressured out. Pressured out, as you have defined it, could mean I'm sick to death over all of this. But this is when you really need people. For example, this is when you really need Mrs.
By pressured
Obama.
Out, I mean that Trump calls Murdoch and then Murdoch says he has to go. I don't think that happened.
Yeah, no, you're probably...
Well, I wonder if Chris Wallace is going to stay.
Yeah, he's under attack. Did you notice that? Trump is now tweeting about Chris Wallace.
Yeah.
And he's claiming Mike Wallace was his friend, which I do not believe. Mike Wallace was just one hell of a reporter.
That Mike Wallace was Trump's friend?
Yeah. Trump tweeted this today, that Chris will never live up to his father, who was my good friend.
Yeah, well, let's remember.
Everything that comes out of his mouth. Yeah.
I don't know that's true.
Let's remember that Trump was a man about town. He had a lot of money. He spread it around. He had television shows. So what could be harmed by having a dinner with him or something and he becomes a good friend? You know, this is very different, I think.
Well, we'll see. So that debate is tomorrow night, and obviously we'll have a lot of coverage on Wednesday.
Hey, Joe.
Yes.
Is any money coming in for the lockbox?
I don't know. I can check that, certainly.
Yeah, it's Columbus Day. We don't know what it is about Columbus Day that is an anathema. We once tried to raise money on
people
Columbus
are off work.
Day. Yeah, well, Joe was talking about how he came down this morning and he got there instead of an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's like
so I'm exactly.
The community, well, no state workers. Right. A lot of the colleges are closed. It's it's a pretty good day.
Oh, it's nice
as far as for commuting. Anyway, all right, we have just about a minute. I'm going to try to bring this up for Alan before to give us a total, but I don't know whether it's going to load in time.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Just keep giving.
When we started this morning, we
needed 47 to go to get to the
47 to go. So, look, we're going to have to do this. Now, every penny that we can raise becomes a time for Sarah and Libby and Rosemary and Joe and maybe even a little me to be able to say something that is relevant to our contemporary classic and very scary debate. So, you know, folks, we all have a choice here. Choices are to be made.
We welcome you to help out, WAMC.org, WAMC.org. We need you desperately. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. Also, WAMC.org will do it, WAMC.org.
Just remember, Columbus said, si, si, senor, and Lafayette said, oui. But when Uncle Sam said, will you help, they all said, naturally.
And on that note, we thank you.
And you're such a poet, and we didn't know it.
I didn't write it. It's little song for big song for little big song for little people.
So okay. Glad we're ending on such a serious and high note.
We'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk more, and thank you all for being here this morning. We'll be back. Oh, Alan, we're at $454,619.
So what, have 46 to go?
Yeah.
So the needle, true to form on Columbus Day, hasn't moved.
It moved a little, but not a lot, but yeah. A little bit. All right, we'll be back. Thanks.